And this is in the context of a series I started a few weeks ago entitled To the Ends of the Earth. We've been looking at the early church and kind of what they were doing right after the Holy Spirit had come. And last week we looked at the key verse that gives a snapshot of what the early church was doing, and that's Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So if we could see that verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine." That's the part we covered last week. "And then in fellowship," that's what we're going to talk about today. "And then in breaking of bread and in prayers." As I mentioned, last week we looked at continuing in apostles' doctrine. Basically, they were studying the Word of God, and I did a message last week that gave a couple of very powerful points that when you come to Scripture, you need to understand these two things. Number one, you need to understand the new covenant begins at the death of Jesus and not Matthew 1:1. Because Jesus said some things I'll show you in just a moment to recap, because it's the foundation of the message I'm going to give you, talk about to you today. Jesus said some things that clearly are contrary to what Paul said. So who are you going to believe? You got to ask some questions, okay? The second thing I said that you need to understand is all Scripture is written for us, for our benefit, but not all Scripture is written to us to obey, because they were written to the Jews in the context of the Old Covenant. So this really helped me. And like I say, I really feel important to talk about this briefly again, because it's such a foundation of understanding the word fellowship, koinonia, which is the Greek word of fellowship. You've got to understand total forgiveness, or you're not going to understand this message today. So I'm going to talk about it again, and we've got a lot of guests here. I hope this will wet your whistle just enough that you will go back online and listen to last week's message. I want you to see some scriptures that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. He said, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Did you hear what that just said? He goes on to say, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." That he is saying here, if you want to be forgiven by God, you better be forgiven other people. Now, with that said, hang on to that. Paul said this in the context of the new covenant. Colossians 2:13, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him," watch it, "having forgiven you all trespasses." Now wait a minute, this goes contrary to what Jesus said. Jesus said forgiveness is an ongoing thing. When you forgive other people, I'm going to forgive you. Paul says you've been forgiven of all sins. Wow, what you going to do with that? Who was right? Listen, they both were right to who they were written to. We're not under the old covenant. We're not under where Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. Thank God. Please listen to last week. I'm giving you some of this. You're going to be saying, wait a minute, I may be in the wrong church. He's saying Jesus, he's not telling the truth. He was telling the truth to who he was talking to. Now, you've really got to listen and open your heart about this, because I wasn't taught this in seminary. I wasn't taught it in my background, in my denomination. And therefore, I've been trying to balance. Well, I guess you got to do both. So I'm going to forgive others, so make sure Jesus got me covered. Paul says, well, I've been forgiven. Well, am I forgiven or am I not? I'm so confused. I'm telling you, there's a lot of confusion in the church because you do not understand these two principles, the principles we're talking about today. But Jesus' words before the cross, you see, were in the context of the old covenant. He had not gone to forgive and pay for the sins yet. You see? So he says you need to be asking. Let me give you the snapshot I showed last week. Maybe it'll help. The next slide. The old covenant, which is the law system, says you forgive to be forgiven. The new covenant of grace, which we're under now, is that you forgive because you've been forgiven. See, the motive has totally changed. I don't forgive now so I can be forgiven. That is not in my vocabulary now, in my thinking at all. Thank God, and the pressure is off. You see, Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Christ you have forgiveness through the blood." Watch it. "You have forgiveness through the blood according to the riches of His grace." Your forgiveness was granted at the cross. Now you see, when I sin and I blow it, I look to the cross. I don't run on begging and asking God to forgive me and saying I won't do it again if you'll just give me one more chance. How many of y'all ever had that prayer before? If you hadn't, some of y'all are not raising your hand, okay? Wow. You know what I do now when I blow it? I understand that that sin was paid for. I understand that forgiveness has already been granted apart from my confession. I'm just telling you, I'm preaching the new covenant here. All right? Now, what do you do, preacher? I basically apply what John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Look at this. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, though, has that fit anybody here today? I'm just curious. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. You see, He's saying when you blow it, look to the cross. Don't run confessing so you can be forgiven. Confess that you are forgiven. That's what you're doing when you go to the cross and you say, Lord, I've blown it here. And I tell you, God gave me a powerful revelation last week about this. And some of y'all caught it and some of you didn't. And I listened to it again and I'm telling you, this is not from Carlton Rivers. Look at this face. Y'all think I'm smart enough to come up with some things that I'm saying? It's the Holy Spirit. But here's the revelation. Now watch it. Look at the screen. You will forgive others based on how you feel God has forgiven you. You will forgive others based on how you feel God has forgiven you. Let me give an example. Last week I said, if you believe God has only forgiven you of the sins you've remembered to confess and get forgiven for, that's how you're going to forgive other people. What is the biggest barrier to you forgiving somebody else? Somebody help me out. What's one of the biggest barriers that causes you not to forgive somebody else that's offended you? What is it? They haven't said they're sorry. Well, if I forgive them, they're going to think I think it's okay. Y'all ever heard those voices? You see, when you think you've got to confess one sin at a time, and by the way, you can't remember all your sins. If you think your confession is keeping you right with God and in fellowship with God, my friends, you're in for a roller coaster of a Christian life. And I've been on that roller coaster, and thank God I'm not on that one anymore. Wow. But see, if you know that Christ died for your sins, He paid for your sins, and He saw every sin before you were ever born, because some of y'all ain't 2,000 years old, He looked forward and saw every sin, and He granted it. He said, Father, forgive them before they know not what they do. Y'all thought He was just talking to those ones that physically were crucifying Him, didn't you? No, He was talking to you too. Plenty of other verses in the Bible that show total forgiveness. All sins have been forgiven. And my friends, when you began to embrace that, now you will understand what Paul said when he said, forgive even as you've been forgiven. You'll begin to have the power to forgive others that you didn't think you could do. They won't have to run confess to you for you to forgive them. When you really understand total forgiveness, it'll empower you to now forgive other people. It's so powerful. Acts chapter 2, let's go back to that now, okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. Question, you ever heard the term fellowship meal? Anybody? Some of y'all ain't been in church then. We have them all the time. Fellowship meal. I like those, right? The Greek word koinonia here, fellowship, basically means, look at this, fellowship. It means fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, intercourse. Hey, I didn't put it up there. When you look it up, this word in the Greek, these are what it means. So the title of the message, fellowship is more than just a meal. I was taught that you can lose your fellowship when you sin and blow it. In other words, you're out of fellowship, or backslide. We use the churchy word backslide. How many of y'all ever heard that term? Okay. You know, backslide means that you're not coming to church anymore. You're not reading your Bible. You're sinning, and you're not going and confessing them as quick as you know how, and you're not doing all these churchy things so you can remain right with God, they'll say. Some will say, well, I guess you're righteous right with God because of the cross, but you're certainly out of fellowship with God. Well, let's just look at that topic today. Now, I want to make a statement right up front. We can walk through life not benefiting from our fellowship with the Father, but we never lose fellowship. Amen. Some of y'all ain't going to believe that until the Holy Spirit just works it in. So I'm going to slow down and let Him work it in, okay? Let me say it another way. Look at this quote. Friend, you can walk without realizing you're in fellowship with God. The prodigal son is a perfect example. But you cannot lose your koinonia fellowship with God.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. Wow. Amen. Well, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, just open up your heart, and I think you're going to what you will. Okay? Well, fellowship is not just a meal. What is it? First of all, if you're a note taker, you're on the back of your menu, you can jot this in. It is union with the Father. Did you see, remember the words, the meaning of koinonia, fellowship, association, communion, joint participation? Yes, it takes both of us to benefit from it, but it only takes one to accomplish it, and that's Christ. So we're in union with the Father. Galatians 3:27 says, "For you are one in Christ." For you are one in Christ. It says this over and over in Scripture. One in Christ. How can I be pulled out of it when I blow it and don't get it right if I'm one in Christ? Ephesians 2:13, look at this. "But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far off, but you've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Listen, you're not brought near through your lack of sinning. You're not brought near through you being a good boy and being in church every time the doors are open. You're not brought near because you are reading your Bible every day. And you're helping the needy. And you're doing this. And you're doing that. What does it say? It says you're brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Quit trying to add to the cross. Well, if you teach that, preacher, people are just going to get lazy and sorry and sin and don't care anymore. That's a lie. Wow. Steve McVeigh uses the example of sweet tea. Picture a gallon of sweet tea right here. Look in that glass right there. Some sweet tea. And southern sweet tea, by the way, means you do what to it? You pour the sugar to it, right? And you know, you really have to pour the sugar to it while it's still warm and hot, right? So it'll melt the sugar and it penetrates and permeates. And now it becomes one with the water and the tea leaves and the flavor. Folks, that's a picture of you in Christ. You can't separate that sugar now from that tea and that water. Even when you blow it, you can't separate it. Because you see, your good behavior, your lack of sinning didn't grant you that fellowship. And now, because you are not behaving right and you are sinning, you can't lose that fellowship. Now, I'm telling you, I didn't understand this the majority of my Christian life. And I thought God was mad at me. There was a big wall of sin that was now popped up because, you see, I blew it and I'm now not doing what I ought to be doing. Friend, now that I understand that even when I do blow it, I feel bad. I've had people say, "Preacher, are you saying you don't feel bad when you sin?" Yes, I feel bad. I hate it. But what am I going to do with that? I say, "Lord, thank you for 1 John 2:1, that I have an advocate with the Father. He's already dealt with that sin. He's already prayed for it. And my fellowship, my righteousness, everything about me is still intact. And it helps me get up and enjoy what Christ has died to pay for."
Amen.
So first of all, it's union with the Father. Number two, it's a gift of God through Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:14. By the way, if you want to determine what something means in Scripture, for example, the word koinonia, Look it up in the scripture and find out what that key verse says. Koinonia, fellowship means koinonia in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The computer or your Strong's Concordance will give you where that same Greek word is used again. This is another case and another example here. Same word. Now watch this. It says, Paul was saying to the Corinthian church, the grace of the Lord Jesus, now keep that in mind, the grace of the Lord Jesus, comma, and number two, the love of God, comma, and number three, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Holy Spirit showed me something very powerful with this one verse here. Is grace earned, first of all?
No.
Hey, the moment you add works to grace, it's no longer grace. Everybody agree?
Yeah.
Did you do anything to earn the grace of God? No. Okay? Keep that in mind. He also said the love of God. Is the love of God earned?
No.
Can you do anything to earn the love of God?
No.
Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. Not when you get your act together. So I think we're all in agreement. The grace of God and the love of God, there's nothing we can do to earn it. Then he says the fellowship of the Spirit. Koinonia of the Spirit. Some of y'all know where this is going. I see it coming. Question, is grace taken away when we sin?
No.
Is love taken away when we blow it?
No.
Is fellowship broken when we sin then?
No.
Thank God. Do you see the revelation here? We want to pull out fellowship out of these three things that Paul said. We clearly are all in agreement on the grace and love. Oh, but you're out of fellowship though, preacher. You got to be out of fellowship. Something's got to be out of whack. Yeah, your thinking is out of whack.
Amen.
Wow. Some people run from God when they blow it. Now, when you leave here today, I hope when you blow it this afternoon or tomorrow, and it's probably going to happen, you now run to the Lord Jesus, saying, God, thank you that my fellowship is not broken. Your love for me is not broken. Your grace is not broken.
Amen.
Wow. Let me give you another example. Paul's admonishing the Philippian church to avoid selfishness. I want you to see what he did. He pointed them to the finished work of the cross, and with a touch of sarcasm, watch what he said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He said, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, look at the things he's mentioning again. If there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Now, what is he saying here? He said, if there's any encouragement, if there's any consolation, if there's any koinonia fellowship, if so, then show that same kind of love and grace and fellowship to other people. Paul did not tell them that they were out of fellowship with God because they were out of fellowship with one another. You can be at odds with one another, but your fellowship in Christ is still intact. Why? Because it was granted by God at the cross, and it's clearly a union of one in Christ. He was reminding them that since they have fellowship with the Spirit, now look at the latter part of the verse. He said, now make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Basically, he's saying, now realize your fellowship is still intact. Now go and let the Holy Spirit work His magic and His love and His grace and to that person that you're out of fellowship with. And Paul said also to be at peace with those as best you can. You can't make somebody else enjoy the fellowship that you can have, but you can forgive them whether they deserve it or not. You see, forgive even as you've been forgiven. Were you deserving of forgiveness at the cross? Then show the same kind of forgiveness. And you can't do this in your own, by the way.
Right.
Saying, Lord, I can't forgive them. That's right where God wants you to be. But Lord, your Holy Spirit can do the same thing through me that I cannot do of myself. You see, that's walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. Tell the Lord you can't forgive that sorry, no good rascal for what he did to you. You say, preacher, you wouldn't even be asking me to forgive them if you knew what they've done to me. No, I'm not asking you, but God says, you see, you don't forgive others for their benefit. You forgive others because it's a cancer that'll eat away at you. It robs your joy. It doesn't rob your fellowship with God, but it'll certainly affect you enjoying the fellowship with God. You say, preacher, if I forgive them, then they're going to be off the hook. Oh, dear friend. No, you'll be off the hook. Oh, first of all, realize how much you've been forgiven and loved. That's totally, it's complete. Every sin you've ever done, from the time you were born to the time you went to heaven, every sin's been forgiven. If you'll begin to embrace that, the Holy Spirit will empower you to forgive that person that you cannot forgive. Amen. That's why Paul says, even as you've been forgiven, you've got to know how much that is first. Now forgive out of the overflow of that. And friend, you can do that. So a fellowship is not just a meal. It's a union with the Father. Number two, it's a gift of God through Christ. And number three, it's contagious. It's contagious. When you walk through life knowing that your vertical fellowship, your vertical relationship with the Father is intact, you will now overflow horizontally that fellowship to your friends. Look at this next slide. If your vertical relationship with Christ is intact, and by the way, are you listening? Say amen.
Amen.
It's intact. Well, preacher, you don't know what I did last night. Hey, what did we just talk about? When you blow it, what are you supposed to do? Realize you have an advocate with the Father. He's already forgiven that. There's nothing broken other than your spirit, maybe. But Christ wants your spirit to be restored immediately by understanding that He's not mad at you. He's already forgiven you. Your relationship with Him intact. Your fellowship with Him is still intact. Now get up and move on.
Amen.
There's a direct correlation of how you perceive your relationship with the Father that your relationship with other people will be. Now, I said that based on forgiveness. If you think you've just been half forgiven and totally and only forgiven of what you've remembered to confess, that's how you're going to forgive other people. But if you believe that total forgiveness is intact, you've already been forgiven, you'll now have the power to forgive other people when they're undeserving. Same is true here. Just erase that word, a relationship, and put fellowship. If you think your fellowship with God is as wishy-washy as a seesaw and a roller coaster, that's how your fellowship with other people is going to be. Wow. So if you want to enjoy koinonia fellowship with others, start believing that my fellowship with the Father is intact, period. Let me close with something, and I'm going to read actually part of my own book because I said it well and I get stammering around when I try to tell it. I've had more than one disagree with me on this point. They'll say, well, yeah, I agree we're still saved. You know, us good old Baptists would say that. But we'd say we're not right with God when you sin and blow it until you get that back right. And you're certainly, some would say, well, okay, maybe we're right with God, but we're certainly out of fellowship with God. Something got to be out. It's too easy. That's right. You're letting us off the hook, preacher. No, Jesus let us off the hook.
Amen.
Now believe Him, and you'll begin to walk in it.
Yes.
Wow. Anyway, quit interrupting myself. But I've had more than one say, preacher, fellowship is a two-way street. It takes both. And they always give me the analogy of a husband and wife, or a child and a father, or a child and a mother. And here's the way it goes. If I'm constantly reaching out to my wife, this is a man talking, with love and compassion, but she's not responding We're still married, but there's no fellowship. Keep listening. In other words, I still love her and I'm doing all I can to build a relationship with her, but she refuses to acknowledge I'm even there. In that case, according to this person, fellowship is broken because it takes two working together to remain right with each other. All right, now I want you to take you back to some teaching we've done. Is this the old covenant thinking or new covenant thinking? Old covenant says you do your part, God's going to do His part. New covenant says God's done His part, period.
Amen.
Hang with me. The old covenant is bilateral, which means it takes two. If you do your part, God will do His part. The new covenant, however, is unilateral, which means it's all God's part. The above analogy is the old covenant thinking. You must realize that God is far superior in His love to His children than humans are in maintaining their fellowship or love with each other.
Amen.
We're trying to compare God's fellowship with our fellowship with each other. That yes, I agree it takes two to enjoy and benefit from it, but I'm telling you, fellowship was gifted and granted at the cross. There's nothing changed when you and I blow it and we wander far from Him. He's right there pursuing you the whole time.
Amen.
You think He's mad at you and you hiding over here in the corner. He's not mad at you. He's already dealt with that sin. He loves you right where you are. You see, His agape love is not limited by how well you do your part. You see, the new covenant is about the Father and the Son uniting together and making the new covenant based on their commitment to each other. Because, see, He made the commitment in the old covenant. He said, it's between you and me. You do your part, I'm going to do mine. How well did that go? It didn't go at all. And God knew that. That's why He sent His Son. And maybe you're here today and some of this is going over in your mind, your spirit's resonating because this is good news, but your head's getting in the way because that ain't what you've been taught. I'm just praying your head will just get out of the way and you'll open up and say, Lord, if this is really true, just really show it to me. I don't want to believe it because that preacher said it. I've heard preachers before that I know were wrong, and this one could be too. I'm okay with you saying that, by the way. You're going to say it anyway. I might as well agree with you. Hey, I want it to be the Spirit teaching you the truth.
Amen.
Right from His Word. But I'm telling you, this is good news.
Yes.
You've been set free. You're not condemned. You say, preacher, I'm not even a Christian. I ain't even believed in Christ. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. He's not condemning you right now. Does that make you a Christian? No. You just, by faith, have to believe you're not condemned. You just, by faith, have to believe that He's already done everything on the cross. It's not about you doing your believing in Christ and then you doing your part as best you can. Salvation has nothing to do with that. It has all to do with Jesus Christ and what He's done. All heads bowed. Father, thank You so much for today. Lord, if there's one here right now, and Father, they've been wandering around and just not understanding what this Christian life is all about because they've been told so many things. They thought it was about them living as best they can and checking off the list every day of the reading of the Bible, coming to church and doing all these things, confessing their sins and trying to stay right with You and just doing all they can, and they're tired and they're burned out with that. I pray that Your Holy Spirit has shown them that, God, You've already done it all and that Your fellowship is intact, that Your love for them is intact, Your grace and forgiveness is all is still intact. Will they just by faith believe it? And Lord, they've passed from death unto life by understanding that principle alone. That's what salvation is all about. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, would you just do that by telling Him that, Lord, I believe by faith in what You've done for me on the cross. And may you that are Christians, maybe you repent. Repent means to change your mind. you thought fellowship and your righteousness and everything was just all messed up when you blew it. But repenting means, Lord, that I now see clearly that my fellowship is not based on how well I do. Certainly, I cannot enjoy that fellowship. But, Father, that fellowship is still intact because it was granted as a gift at the cross. And, Father, just show us how to live that out in our lives when we blow it. Show us how to realize our total forgiveness is intact, our fellowship is intact, and now, Lord, show us how to let that fellowship flow to other people. And God, yes, it can come in a form and in a way of us just slowing down and eating together today. And I thank you that we can do that. But God, just help us to realize it goes much, much deeper than that. That we're in union. We're one with you. And God, we're one with other believers. And even those that are unbelievers, God, that you've already died for them, they just need to hear this good news and believe it. And just sort all that out, Lord, in our spirit, first of all, and then in our thinking. And I just thank you for the good news of Christ. Father, thank you for this time of fellowship together we're going to enjoy. Thank you for the food. Thank you for those that have come and brought the food. May it just be a glorious time together as we celebrate Jesus and enjoy a meal together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.